when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
A precious Blood River Radio family, especially you guys, you people out there that we have the precious few handful that with your financial sacrifice, you keep us on the air. We're able to bring news stories like this to you. I guarantee you will not hear anything like this on NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox. The conservative radio show Fox, they wouldn't touch the sailors with a 100-foot pole. No way, Jose. Because to quote a lot of, I know a lot of people don't like Chuck Baldwin. I think he's kind of a hero of mine. To quote Chuck Baldwin, that is the third rail of politics. You do not touch. If you're in politics or if you're in banking business, anything like that, you don't screw with Israel, my friend. You don't screw with the Jews or Zionism, or your career will be terminated, and you might even yourself be terminated if you get my drift, if you get too aggressive. People were going, we have, just in case you're tuning in, we have three brothers, my brothers, and it's hard to keep from crying. We have Ron Kukol, Mickey LeMay, Larry Bowen, my brothers. They were Navy, I was Army. We all served the damn same master. Phil Torney was coming on today, but he just couldn't. He's just too ragged out. He's told me to tell y'all that he loves you. He just couldn't do that. I contemplated getting Mo Schaefer on, but Phil said Mo was having a lot of trouble with his back. He was there, but these guys were just, I'm amazed the hell they've been through. Well, anyway, enough of my running my mouth. We're going to go right back to Mickey LeMay, I cannot believe he went from 160, 65 pounds all the way to 75.
Can I interrupt here for just a second before you take Mickey up?
Of course.
Yeah. I'd like to get out of here by the, at the bottom of the hour if I could, because of some pressing things we've got going on right around here. I'd appreciate it if I could somehow talk a little bit about another miracle, and I'm going to have to get off.
Sure. Okay. So right now, Central. It's Central time is 4:09. So you want to leave by 4:30 Central, right?
That'd 20 be more Mountain minutes. Standard time.
Okay. So Mountain Standard would be three thirty when you want to leave. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
it's four. We'll do. Okay. It's 3:09 Mountain right now. So go ahead, Ron. Since you're pressed for time, you go ahead, and we'll go back to Mickey as soon as you get through, Ron.
Okay, I do appreciate that, and I got some things I got to take care of. So, I wanted to talk a little bit about the trauma doctor that I met maybe 4 or 5 years after the attack, and I was having so much trouble with my back and everything, which there was some physical things wrong with it. But the trauma doctor, when I went to see her, I suppose it might have been in the early 70s. And so I sat down and told her the whole story, and she looked at me after it was over, and she said, "Ron, you were how many feet from the torpedo when it exploded?" And I said, "I'm guessing maybe 70, 80 feet, maybe even closer. I'm not sure." And then she said, "Well, we know these things happen to you guys, and we don't have answers for all the things that you're asking. We have no idea what it does to a body when you're being that close to a torpedo explosion like that." And then she had that old hum attitude, sort of like, "Oh, I've talked to them about this kind of stuff before." So I showed her a picture of the torpedo hole just before I walked out the door. And she called me back and said, Ron, can I have that magazine? I said, oh, okay, so you do kind of get what's going on here. And that was just absolutely amazing. That to me, that's just another miracle. And that a lot of people will ask me, how could I stay down there 25 with recovering those 25 bodies? And the smell was horrible. And some men had to take the take some time off to get away from that smell. I got to tell you, another miracle is that Christ was there, and I never smelled a thing. And I need to do one more thing before I get off here, and that's I want to apologize. We're going to be a little lighthearted here. I want to apologize to Phil Turney publicly for reading his name first on the men that died that day. That was an accident.
I remember that. We know.
Yeah, it's sort of humorous.
Yes. Before you have to go, Ron, do you you say you got to leave by 4:30? Why don't you tell, if you have a few minutes left, tell something about that's some of the graphic stuff I wanted you guys to talk about. What it was like? Tell the people going about what it's like going down in the guts and the bowels of that ship, rescuing dead bodies. I'm sure some of them were severed, you know, arm here, leg there, et cetera, et cetera. Tell about that, Ron, what it was like.
I can tell you all what I, as I say, my memory is, it's been blocked on a lot of things down there. But what I do know is that we're not just talking, to put those bodies back together, as I remember it, it's sort of like a jigsaw puzzle, because the pieces were everywhere. And jammed into steam pipes and such as that, and just everywhere. But I just, I'm just absolutely amazed what I did. I know I did. I was ordered to do it. I tried to get out from underneath doing it, but he wouldn't let me do it. And once you get that look from the captain, I knew that was going to be it. So I had to go down there. But God was with me. I know he was. There's no other way I could have done this. And I just wanted to get that in.
And Ron, you were in command of the, I guess, call it the body rescue, body salvage team. Am I correct?
Well, yes, it should have been an officer. The captain said there was no officers left that had a top secret clearance that could go down below. So he said, we're going to pick a senior enlisted man. And the chiefs, a lot of them are dead. And some of the ones that could come down there, I don't know if they held a clearance or not. So I was tagged with that, and there was no way to get out from around it because the captain said, you're going to do this in order. And how I made it through that, I just got to say it over and over again. It wasn't me. My hands were guided. My mind was guided. I'm still here, and I still have pretty lucid. So, just another miracle, another after another after another miracle. And I don't know. Well, the miracle, yes. Standing in the middle of miracles. I hope I can get the book done.
I hope so, too. You know, Ron, how many other sailors were with you on that team, to run that salvage team, rescue team?
You know, I wish I could. I really can't. Names are just escaping me anymore, and
I got
it's
you.
Impossible. So I know Larry was down there.
Larry was one of them.
Oh, okay.
Larry one was time. One of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Larry, since you were there, we first did a Liberty program my first year with Blood River Radio. That's been about going on 6 years ago. At one time, I could not believe I knew every detail of that. Matt, one of the guys y'all aren't with anymore, Dave Gehary, he told me I knew a hell of a lot more about the Liberty he ever did, but I studied for 40 hours straight about before he did that program, the first program. But Larry, and the reason I'm doing this, I'm trying to get as graphic as possible because I want our people to know. I want them to get graphic. If I could, I wish I could make our listening audience vomit from what you guys saw. They need to know what their precious, especially these Southern Baptists that worship Jews in Israel and these United Methodists. I would like to see them puke their guts out because they need to know what you guys went through. Ron, Larry, you were one of the members getting the bodies
tell us a little bit about, take up where Ron left off, and give us the story.
Well, Ron was in charge of putting all the pieces back together. We were in charge of pulling out the bodies and those pieces and turning them over to Ron so that he could put them with an appropriate, you know, sailor. And I was on the first recovery team who went in because I wanted to find out what happened to my buddy.
Larry, we have to go to a quick break. Yep. Please bookmark that your spot in your mind and your brain. We want to go right back to that point. Our listeners need to know. Be right back, people.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Let me tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, there's just so much to cover, and it's so emotional. It's just it's hard to keep track to know what to do because it's hard to keep your wits about you when you're talking about something like this. It's off the scale emotional. But we're going to go right back to my brother in arms. Larry Bowen, and he was in the process of telling about the rescue teams. Well, listen to me telling you about what he's telling about. Larry, you go ahead and continue where he was, brother.
Okay, well, like I said, I was on the first rescue team going down to recover bodies. And as I'm coming down the ladder from the main deck down to Radio Research 1, I've got a battle lantern, because we were without power at that time, had a battle lantern that I'm flashing around to try and, you know, see if I can see anything. And hanging from the overhead was a shipmate that apparently got caught up in the when the ship was taking its 9-degree rolls, and the water was rushing out of that 29.5 by 30-foot or 40-foot hole in the starboard side. He apparently got his neck caught in the overhead, killed him instantly. But he was hanging there, like he was standing in midair, and it scared the living daylights out of me. and he was the first body that we recovered. And then I had two others that I found, the third body being that of Bob Eisenberg, and I wanted to be able to tell his family that Bob had died instantly. He had taken a shrapnel hit right in the middle of his chest, about 6 inches wide, his body was pretty much fully intact except for the shrapnel wounds. And but other parts of the bodies that we recovered were any place imaginable on board a technical ship. There were parts in the equipment, parts laying in the overhead racks, the cable racks. There's on the deck all over the place. There were limbs that that had to be identified as to who that belonged to. Hopefully you found the part that had maybe part of a stenciled shirt with it or something so that you could tell that it belonged to a particular individual. It's like Ron, there was a miracle that Ron was able to cope with all of that, because it was tough for all of us, just seeing the carnage. But to have to go through, pieces of bodies and put them in body bags and say that's so and so or this is somebody else, and I know that it breaks me up thinking about it, because it's something that I've been in shock with over the years, for many years. I still have nightmares. And it's something that you live with.
Yes.
And I think that's the way it is with any man that's been in battle and seen his
yes.
shipmate or comrades, shot up. They, you never forget it.
No, you don't.
We wanted Mickey to talk about these aircraft that
yes.
the America and Saratoga launched, and that got called back. So why don't we get Mickey on there to talk about that?
Well, we do, but I would like to ask you, Larry, which, while we're at it, and I do this all the time, I would like you to tell the American people, especially these Judeo-Christians who I described as the people, like a Judeo-Christian to me, I don't know how you guys feel about it. It's like a lady of the evening working in a New Orleans bordello, and she's claiming to be a virgin whore. But anyway, would you like to say something, because I know we have some recovering Baptist friends. Would you like to say anything about your experience of taking these different body parts? I mean, just blown all the hell, and you can't even tell which body parts fit with what. And some of these stinking politicians we have. Would you anything you'd like to say personally to them before we go to Mickey, Larry? Because I've got plenty to say.
For me, the fact that our government turned its back on the crew and the 34 crew members who were killed that day, to abandon us when we were in harm's way, they sent us there on purpose, and then to just turn their backs and say, forget it, don't ever say a word about this, we're not going to talk about it ever again, is wrong. It's absolutely wrong. For those of us that are still suffering from PTSD, it would be helpful for us to get some closure by having a full and impartial investigation into this event. Even though it happened 57 years ago, it's still vivid in our minds, and we'll take it to our grave, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. And if we have time, if I can't say it this show,
this broadcast, we don't consider this show, it's a broadcast. I'll say it in the near future, but I do not want to take up a single minute away from you, Larry, away from Mickey. We will revisit the body rescue team and the bodies in the bags, the rubber plastic bags, etc. That just I can't hardly cope with that. We'll go back to Mickey. Mickey's going to tell a little bit about the USS America and the USS Saratoga. We had a sailor on a couple of years ago. He wasn't with you guys, but he was with the United States Ship of America, which is an aircraft carrier. And he heard, before I go further, I'll let Mickey talk about, he's going to talk about the Saratoga, what went on there. And guys, don't let me forget to cover what was told by the highest echelons of American government to Admiral, I just talked his name a minute ago. His name will come back to me again. Yes. So go ahead, Mickey.
Okay, well, mine's all hearsay because I was hit on the first strafing. As they were carrying me down to sick bay, they put me on the deck to loosen the tourniquet on my leg, and I'm four decks inside the ship, and a rocket came through the overhead, and I could see blue sky. That was when I thought we were all going to die. But anyhow, I've been told that the Admiral sent out planes within 7 minutes of the first attack. And he had called Washington, and McNamara called the planes back. He told them he didn't have the authority to send the planes and brought them back. And I don't know the whole reason, but I was told something about the certain weaponry on the America planes he thought were not allowed in that type of area because of some treaty we signed. This could be totally wrong, but it's something I had heard. And he got rid of that and put conventional stuff on and sent the planes back out again. And with that, he called Washington. And now at this time, we believe Egypt is attacking us. Remember, the planes are unmarked. We can't imagine it's Israel attacking. It's got to be Egypt, in my mind anyways. So he called Washington, the Admiral called Washington and said, I got planes going back to the aid of the Liberty. And McNamara said, you don't have that authority, get him back. And the Admiral challenged him. And that meant it goes to the higher person now. And that means President Johnson. Now, Dave Lewis, if I'm wrong, Larry, correct me, please, but I believe he was the head officer in the CT section of the ship.
He had been hurt
quite badly. As a matter of fact, his eyes were shut. From the paint when it hit his eyes when the explosion hit. And they brought him to some cruiser that was near us the next day and fixed that. And that's sometime at that period he had spoken to this admiral. And the admiral told him that President Johnson said, we will not embarrass our allies. Right. You will get the planes back on the deck. So President Johnson knows Israel's attacking us. We don't, but he does. So that's my true belief, that Johnson didn't want 294 Americans to live.
That's
he wanted
exact
us
story.
Dead. Yes. Now, that, again, is hearsay. Dave Lewis did tell us that the Admiral do it. And I have no doubt that Lewis would do nothing but the truth. He wouldn't exaggerate anything. He was a great man. But we never saw anything from the United States until the next morning when the ships came over the horizon. They never sent one aid to us. When they were close enough to send helicopters to help us, they still didn't do it. They didn't send it until we could see them. That's inexcusable. I mean, they should have planes flying in over us at night, dropping stuff people off
yes.
to help us.
Yes.
To help my shipmates keep that ship afloat.
We have to go to another commercial break. Yeah. Mickey, hold that thought. We'll come right back to you as soon as we can come back to this commercial break. Be right back, folks. Hang on, Blood River Radio family.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Americans' outlook on personal finances and the economy has turned negative. The University of Michigan reporting that consumer sentiment has dropped by 3.5 points in June compared to May, with long-term inflation concerns increasing. The survey also highlighted modestly rising worries about high prices and weakening incomes. Consumer spending, a critical driver of economic activity, continues to be closely monitored by the Federal Reserve and economists. The Supreme Court has overturned a federal ban on bump stocks. Friday, the court ruled that this firearm accessory, which enables semi-automatic rifles to fire more rapidly, cannot be classified under a 1934 law prohibiting machine guns. The decision, divided along ideological lines, was 6-3, striking down a regulation from the Trump administration. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has expressed concern over the presence of Russian warships just 90 miles away in Cuba.
They are not going to be deterred by weakness. They're not going to be deterred by confusion. They're not going to be deterred by a president wandering around aimlessly at the G7.
DeSantis said that Russia's military activities in Cuba are alarming, and he blames the Biden administration's perceived stance of weakness for the situation. Ukraine is rejecting Russia's demands to end the ongoing war between the two countries. Friday, Russian President Vladimir Putin said that Russia would cease hostilities if Ukraine met specific conditions, including abandoning its ambitions to join NATO and withdrawing troops from four Ukrainian provinces claimed by Moscow. The proposal from Russia came just a day after the U.S. and Ukraine agreed to a new 10-year security agreement. And following the guilty verdict in his hush money trial in New York, former President Trump's campaign funds have seen a significant increase. Reports indicate that the weeks following the trial, Trump raised more than $141 million. This is USA News.
Hey, here's a question. After you wear your clothes, you toss them in the washing machine, right? Nobody wants to wear dirty clothes. So how do we not throw your shoes in the washing machine when they get dirty? I mean, come on. Your shoes are touching the filthy ground all day long. Gross. But with Skechers, you can. Because most Skechers are machine washable. That's right. Skechers are specially made so you can toss them right in the washing machine and keep them clean and looking new. And when they look new, you can confidently wear them longer. That's less shoes you're going to want to throw away, which means less waste. And it'll save you tons of dough. I love that. Plus, machine washable Skechers are for the whole family, men, women, and kids. So when your kids get their shoes dirty, oh, and we know they will, just wash them. Brilliant! And even our latest technology, new hands-free Skechers slip-ins, are washable. You just step right in and go without bending down or even touching your shoes. So give your Skechers the same treatment you give your clothes. Just toss them in the washing machine and keep them looking brand spanking new. Find machine washable Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear happens to be sold.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Cool, they're red, white, and blue.
Well, it makes me want to wave that. Wave that red flag and blue flag. It sure does, right to the bottom of a Johnny on the job of a putty. But anyway, I can't stand this government we have right now. I have nothing but total disdain for it. Well, I've got to keep my personal thing out of the way right now. But so we're gonna go right back to Larry Bowen, who was there. I just can't believe what he had to go through. Going down the bottom of that ship and getting an eyeball here, a testicle there, a foot here, a leg there, and trying to put it all together. I don't know how anybody could survive that. I really don't. And anyway, without me running my mouth too much, we're going right back to you, brother. And you can take up where we left. You can talk about the communications from the highest echelons of the government to Admiral Geis or anything else you want to do, Larry.
Well, let's finish up with what Mickey was talking about. Admiral Geis had called our officer in charge, Mr. Lieutenant Commander Dave Lewis, into his quarters and said that what I'm about to tell you, I don't want repeated until after I'm gone. And he says, I was on the phone with President Johnson. And he says, I don't give a damn if all those sailors on board go to the bottom of the Mediterranean along with the ship. I'm not going to embarrass an ally. Dave Lewis told us that at the reunion down in Pensacola, I think 3 years ago, after Admiral Geis had died. But it was, the admiral was, very upset with the fact that Washington wasn't willing to support the rescue to help save our ship.
If they would have let the planes come, we would have only lost 7 men. That's all we would have lost if they let the first group of planes come in.
Yep.
It's calling back right. What caused the major damage.
Yep.
Well, I want our audience, I want our people to still worship the United States government and still worship Israel. I want that to sink in. I heard exactly, I've been told exactly the same thing that my brother Larry just told you. In a nutshell, LBJ told Admiral Geis, he said, I want that goddamn ship on the bottom of the ocean. He said, I will not embarrass our Israeli allies. And I'd like to ask our listening audience, what kind of power is held by a group of special people, by a little sandbox off the Mediterranean called Israel? Supposedly the largest, most powerful nation in the world is brought to its knees, like it's got a piano wire around its testicles, a steel ring in its nose. What kind of power is that? And I'm going to tell you what I think. And I talked to Brother Phil before he came on this program. And we both were pretty emotional. And I'm going to repeat as best I can the sentiments that Brother Phil said, guys, Larry and Mickey. I think I'm fully convinced that Satan, you guys were fighting Satan. We're fighting Satan in this nation right now. I'm trying not to get away from the liberty, but that's what was attacking liberty. In my opinion, the only power a group, an entity that has that kind of power comes from Satan. And I think these Zionist Jews are, and I don't want to get too far off track, if you Christians out there, if you put any credence in Scripture at all, take your Bible and open it
and go to St. John 8:44. It'll tell you, Jesus Christ looked in their eyes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, and he told them, you're not the chosen people. That's not what he said. Like Adrian Rogers would say, or Billy Graham would say, or maybe the Pope. Jesus Christ told them that they were their father, the devil. And the devil was the chief liar. He was probably the first liar in the universe. He was the father of it. That's all he can do is tell a lie. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was the thief. He came to kill, to murder, to destroy. That's what that satanic force was doing to the Liberty that day. That's who you're looking at. And when you salute that stinking flag, and I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes on this show, but I don't know how in the hell anybody could have any respect for that stinking so-called flag that represents this force that has started every damn war in the past 150 years. And it did that to our sailors. It had full control over the President of the United States, the Defense Department, and has full control to this day, just like Brother Phil Torney said. My politicians there, that's the government we have, they're a bunch of stinking whores. I'd say grooms of the stool that wipe the butt, like we had grooms of the stool in ancient days to wipe the butt of the royalty when they sat on their potty, and just shovels goy of these stinking Zionist Jews. How they can have that kind of power? It has to be Satan. Anyway, I don't want to get too far off the facts, but that's just, by God, I just can't believe people still support the damn enemies that did that to you guys right there. And I don't want to put words in you guys, in your mouth, Larry, in your or Mickey, but I used to be the most patriotic son of a bitch on the face of the earth. I'm done with it. I'm done with that crime cabal called Washington, D.C., and their stinking flag. I'm done. I've been done with these damn Jews, these Zionist Jews forever. They're our enemy. They killed. Look what they did to these guys on Liberty. And look how many wars they've started. Anyway, I don't want to get too far away from Liberty.
Yeah.
So would you like to add anything to that? I'm not trying to get you in trouble, put any words in your mouth, Mickey, but would you like to expand that or talk about something else?
Well, I can talk about the Liberty. That's what yes, I'm
sir.
Here for.
And, yes, sir.
One thing is interesting. A couple things are interesting, but I was talking with Ernie Gallo to a group of religious people in Orlando, Florida, quite a few years ago now. It was about over 100 people we were talking to, and we both told our story of what we saw that day. And when we finished, the guy in charge said, "Hold it, Ernie and Mickey. I got somebody I want you to meet." And he pulled this guy out of the crowd. And he happened to be the photographer on the America. He's the one that, if you see any picture of the ship from off the ship, he took them. And he was telling us, Ernie and me, that on the way to help us, they confiscated every camera from every crew member. They were scheduled to go on leave, and they canceled it for 90 days so that nobody would talk about what they saw when they got alongside Liberty. That, to me, was the cover-up was instant. It was started the minute the attack, the ship didn't sink. But on the way, they had the cover-up started.
That's why I get so emotional, because it seems like, I mean, anything that complete, that instantaneous, I've come from a Christian worldview, a point that there is a God, and it has to be a supernatural power that quick, that fast, and the supernatural power is evil. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. Anything can have that kind of power from the very highest part of the United States government, the president, the senators, United States representatives. That tells me it's been purported to say that President Woodrow Wilson said that supposedly, I think I've read this before, and I know Billy Boy Clinton said pretty much the same thing. I don't want to get too far away from Liberty, but he said, Woodrow Wilson said that from the time he got to the White House, he's known high-ranking military men, captains of industry, and he said to the one, to the man. They had this respect, this fear of this force, whatever it was. And he said, you dare not speak about it above a whisper. And before I get too far astray, Bill Clinton said that by the time you get to be president, somebody else above you is making all the decisions, pulling all the wheel. He said, we have best virtual presidents, virtual senators, virtual representatives, virtual preachers. And I would like to also repeat the way I feel about the Southern, especially the Southern Baptist Church, but anybody that claims to be a Judeo-Christian, and I'm a recovering Baptist, that I think you're a bunch of whores, that you sold out, you paid out to the, you licked the boots of Israel. We'll come back to our last segment, the second hour we come back, and I'll try to keep my opinions out of it. Be right back, folks.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this will be the last segment we have with Larry Bowen and Mickey LeMay, the two survivors from USS Liberty. What an honor it's been having these guys on. What an honor. Phil Torney would like to come on again at a later date, but he's just too ragged out right now, to quote him. So right now, people, without any further delay about me putting my political views or whatever, it's really hard not to. I'll do that some another. I'll give a commentary later. We're going to go back to Mickey LeMay right now. He's the second most seriously wounded veteran off the USS Liberty. Oh, by the way, I never asked you, who was the most serious that didn't die? What was it? What was his name?
It was one of the ship's crew. He was carrying a lead paint when the first strafing hit, and he ended up with lead paint in all kinds of parts of his body.
Wow.
And I'm told he was more seriously than I was. But when I was taken off the Liberty and brought to the Americas, they were pulling me into the helicopter. They said, the guy at the helicopter said, we'll take one more after him. And I was unconscious for 7 days. I was the last one to wake up, because when I woke up and I didn't die, they had a cake. Of course, I didn't, but they had a cake to celebrate that everybody that got to the America made it. And that was quite exciting, but of course, I couldn't be too excited. Now, the thing I wanted to mention here Larry had mentioned about the body retrieval. And
yes.
To me, what was really one of the most cruelest things that they did was to make the crew members go down and get their bodies, their buddies' parts, instead of bringing somebody in that didn't have any emotional feeling. And that was, to me, all part of the cover-up. They didn't want anybody else to know about this, so they made Larry and his shipmates, the ones with the proper clearances, the only guys that could go in there, do it. I mean, how inhuman can they be? Larry had to go pick up his best friend's pieces. That's excusable. Get up. I'm sorry.
You're fine. Let it all out.
Oh, Larry, I feel so bad. Oh, God, what you had to do. You run to that, all of them.
Thanks,
Mike. Why could they bring somebody else in?
Yeah, I feel your pain. Every time I talk about Bob, it just wrenches my heart because his family didn't get the word. I wasn't able to talk to his family. I wanted to be able to go out to Minnesota with the body and tell his family that he didn't suffer, and the Navy wouldn't let me do that.
I know, you told me that. They're so mean, so heartless.
They were afraid you would talk,
Larry. Send you all the way to Malta. Send you all the way to Malta, fix the ship up so when it came back to the States, it looked like it was never attacked. The ship looked as beautiful the day it arrived in Norfolk as it did the day we left for that cruise. How much money did they spend on fixing that ship to make it look good? God.
My God Almighty. You know, now, Mickey and or Larry, what happened to this? If memory served me wrong, was that ship later just scrapped and sold? I mean, just totally, in my opinion, dishonored. Tell us about that, if you will, Larry, about what happened to the ship, to the Leo Seth Liberty.
Well, when it first came back, it went over to Little Creek in Virginia, and it sat there for a while until they decided that they were not going to, you know, do any more repairs on it, that it was just going to be scrapped. And it was sold for, you know, a mere pittance of what it was worth to scrap. And, you know, parts of it, you know, like the ship's bell and some flags and some other memorabilia from the ship have made it to different museums and memorabilia outlets. That, you know, so they still try to honor the ship. The U.S. Cryptologic Museum in Fort Meade, Maryland, has got one of the ship's flags. There's a school out in Washington State that has the ship's bell. And there's, you know, bits and pieces that the crew members have. Phil Turney's got a cannon hole that he cut out of the side of the ship. And a piece of scrap metal that he carries with him when he's doing lectures. But for the most part, as Mickey said, when we were in Malta, they did everything humanly possible to cover up all the damage so that when it got back to Norfolk, Virginia, the public wouldn't see the ravaged, you know, ship that that we brought into Malta months before.
You know, if I was a sailor or marine, I couldn't imagine wanting to serve on a ship. It'd be like almost like having to put a tent and live in a graveyard in a cemetery over a grave. I mean, that would be so spooky to me. I don't know how, Larry, I don't know how in the hell you lived with your, you, I mean, this fact, better, this fact that you can sit here and come on a radio broadcast and talk about this after what you went through, how you could keep your mind about you. That's a miracle right there. You know, Ron Kukol talked about miracles. That, to me, that's a miracle that you survived that. It most certainly is. You know, before we leave, we're coming to the end of the y'all's time. Talk, well, I don't think I made a point enough about how it was totally undeniable that these planes and ships that attacked you guys, you men, were from Israel, and that it could not have been a mistake. I know the captain had a smaller flag replaced by a garrison flag. Talk about how big the flag was just for a little bit before we go, guys, and how it could be undeniable. It could not possibly have been mistaken for a ship. The USS Liberty could not. It was impossible to misidentify it. It had to be, you had to know it was an American ship by the flag. Tell a little bit about that flag, if you guys remember anything about that.
Well, before the flag, when the boats are circling us, okay? If you look at the pictures of the ship, you see GTR-5. The letters are almost 10 feet in size on the bow and the stern. Excuse me, on the port and the starboard side of the ship on the bow. On the stern, they're about 5 feet. GTR-5, and between the two of them, it says Liberty. So as you're circling the ship, you know it's not an Egyptian ship. The Egyptian wouldn't write Liberty in English. So there's no way in the world that they made the mistake. I mean, these people that think it was oops, I made a mistake. I saw the ship from 3,000 feet. Well, the plane I saw was about 50 feet above us, if that. And you got the bow and the stern with GTR-5 on it and Liberty between it on the stern. How can you make a mistake when you're circling the ship and shooting at it? They found over 5,000 armor-piercing bullet holes on the ship. And my shipmates that were in the engine room were saying the shell would come in and then bounce all over the place while it was inside there. They were all waiting for one of them to hit them.
Oh.
I mean, you know, this mistake thing is, it's inexcusable. No way was the ship flying at sea without a flag flying. The captain was the most ridiculous captain I knew. I only had two major captains in my Navy career. But he was ridiculous. If we went outside without a hat on, out on the deck somewhere at sea, he'd put us on report. If we didn't salute an officer, he'd put us on report. He was ridiculous, but the only reason we didn't sink is because he taught all the people to do what they had to do to keep that ship afloat. He was the greatest man.
What was his name, Larry, to the officers? Was it Captain McGonagall?
McGonagall.
Yes. Okay. I thought that was it. Okay. Well, guys, we'll be going. We're ending the program. In just any second, I want to tell you guys, hadn't been fun. It's been an honor having you on. We'll do this periodically. We'll honor we talk about the Liberty all the time. Every month, every year, June is going to be Liberty Month. I hope you have a wonderful life. Yes, sir. I hope the rest of your life is as pleasurable as it can be, as pain-free as it can be, which that's going to be a tall order, and I hope we all live another year if we can do another USS Liberty. People, guys, you hear the music, that's it. Thank you so much, Larry and Mickey. God bless you guys. I'll try to contact you guys from periodically, time to time. You can call me anytime, day or night, if you think that me or Blood River Radio can be of assistance. So thank you, guys. Thank you so much. See you later. Right. Bye-bye, guys.
Larry, I love you, buddy.
Yeah, love you, too. Good night, guys. People, that was it. That was USS Liberty. People, were transitioning to the third hour now. We're going to bring on the bell cow, Miss Nancy Hitz. So go take a quick break. Be a long break. Be right back, folks.